You're listening to a previously recorded episode of the Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard, everybody. It's officially episode 201. And we got to start off 201 with we had two surprise guests. Actually, Barnes is kind of a host, so it's not.
He is not a host anymore. He does not count. He hasn't been here in months.
It's true.
Yeah.
Ever since we left,
since
we left Studio 2.0, he has not been here.
Now it's like a special appearance, so it makes it even better.
Oh, that's okay. Well, see, he's hyping up. But Amanda Bobby Cooper.
Yes!
Amanda. For the first time.
Look at all the excitement here. Can I hear this?
Yeah. You can have the headphones.
There you go.
This doesn't match my outfit.
Oh, it's fine. They're black.
Just
they
the
go
green
with
and
everything.
Black
walls. I was going to say, yeah, black goes with everything.
Mm-hmm. But thanks for stopping in, guys.
Yeah.
What's been going on post the Ultimate Fighter show for you, ABC? What's going on?
I'm training. I'm, like, just doing a lot right now. Trying to, you know, see my family. When I'm in training camp, I just kind of, like, lose priority. Training's my only priority. So right now I'm just, seeing friends, seeing family, but continuing to train and doing all I can until I have another fight.
Now, I remember you posted this. We were at your watch. What was it? Watching party at Buffalo Wild Wings, and you come on there, and you're the first person they show, they interview, and you're the first fight, and you win. And then the next day, you post that, "Hey, I appreciate everybody trying to add me as a friend, but." How many people tried to add you after that first show on Facebook? And how are you coping with now, you know?
You're a name now. I mean,
you're a name.
Yeah.
I'm verified on Twitter. I just I'm so happy.
Wait. You made it to the UFC, made it all the way to the finals. No, that's not what she's excited about. She's excited that she's verified on Twitter now.
I am. Hey. It's that little blue check mark means so much to me.
It's the little things, you know,
right?
No, there's so many people thank for that, for sure. I mean, I have friend requests. Like, it's insane. I mean, friend requests, messages, some good, some not so good. Some hate. I like to screenshot things, and this, like, when they're mean to me, I just keep screenshotting them, sending me mean things and me not commenting back to them. I try to have fun with it. I don't know.
How could they be mean to you? Like, I watched the show. You come across.
Oh, people are going to be mean.
Yeah. I mean.
I think the meanest thing that I heard was I look like a female Chael Sonnen. And it wasn't the first time I heard that, so I mean, that's not.
You're
a
not
good
doing
thing.
Have you gotten? You don't have haters.
Have you gotten any? Yeah. Have you gotten any marriage proposals though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, mostly. You know, I do. Yeah, please marry me. Please, I'll do anything. You know, and can I take you on a date? And I'll say like, no, I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend. They'll be like, I'm not a jealous person.
I'll share.
Yeah, they don't mind. You know? I get a few, like, you know, I get pictures sent to me that I wouldn't like
creepy
to have.
Photos.
Creepy, sexual,
you should
whatever.
You should compile all that and make like a blog.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You should post
that. That would be called the porn set.
I get
that.
Yeah.
So
not if you put the little, what do they do in Japanese or whatever, where they like blur it out or whatever.
You seem to know a lot about this, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What Jimmy's like, describe? No, you know, on those Japanese websites, www.japanesenakedgirls.com, they put that blurry thing up. I think it's called
Osudugo.
Wait, I can pull it up real quick for you.
Yeah, here, let me show you. Beep, boop, boop. I got an app. It's cool.
How many people did you block officially? What's the over-under?
I haven't had to block a ton of people. I have a system, and it works.
Okay, what's the system?
And if people send me pictures that I don't like, I don't say anything. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. All the time. And if I don't say anything.
Just from Barnes?
And they continue to send me pictures. I screenshot it, first of all. Uh-huh. And then if they send me more just messages, I send them their dick back to them. And usually it kind of shuts them up. They're like, man, she just sent me my dick. Right. I don't want to see that. Well, you're playing this all wrong.
You need to get, like, even if you just pull it off of – Jimmy will get you one off a porn site. Just the biggest horse dick you can find, right? And when they send it to you, send that back to him and be like, call me when you can measure up.
If it's on Snapchat, I usually have, like, the guys from the team go in the back and send a picture back. And
You really need to meet Darren Cruikshank.
Oh, she knows Darren.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's like his thing.
I had a really weird incident happen. I've been a little creeped out by it. This guy sends me a picture in the mail. Okay. And
Like snail mail?
No, like in like mail. I got it in the mailbox.
Yeah, sorry. Snail mail.
Is that what it's called?
So like stamped and delivered.
Stamped, yes. Okay.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
And
my dick.
You'd have to see. No, it's not a dick pic.
Okay.
It's creepier, okay? So he's standing. I think it's really creepy. He's standing, like, just staring in the camera, and there's just, like, pictures of me all in the back.
And he has,
like, this... like two little like My Little Ponies on his shoulder.
He's a brony.
And yeah. Like,
of course he is.
And he's just like staying and staring. It was like sent me this. Wrote a bunch on it and whatever. Like this, I just wanted me to have the like the picture was just for me. Like here's the picture of me for you. And
what is his name? Buffalo Bob. By any chance?
If you go Bill. Missing, we
Buffalo
know
Bill.
You
or whatever.
Yeah, but either way, goodness.
I have the picture still. Yeah, no, it's really.
Make sure you're. Well, yeah, you need to keep that around because if he fucking shows up and you don't have that picture, you're dead. You have to show him. No, I put it on my fridge. I love it.
Or you need that to give. You know, if you disappear, we need to give that.
Is
to the
Is he clothed
police.
In the picture?
He's wearing like a wife beater.
Okay, and it's not like he's not.
It's actually
like,
kind of creepier though. Like just wearing a beater.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just wanted like absolutely. I just was wondering how far did he take it? So your picture's all over.
I thought that was the, and it was just like the fact that he sent it to me for me to have. You know.
Well, I mean that's
like,
kind of sweet.
You need this photo of me and My Little Ponies, which was the most random
he's
thing.
Like thinking of you,
but it was like no smile. It was just it was really.
Well, he's sad that you're not with him.
I'm traumatized still.
If you were with him, it would be different.
We do got to ask you, I like the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I know a lot of people that follow us like that. I reveal it and stuff. So now that you're with the UFC, give people a little bit of background. How's it work? Who do you communicate with there? How often do they stay in contact with you? These are just questions that I get from people that I know that know I have access to people from the UFC. So why don't you answer it? You're part of the establishment now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in contact with them all the time. There's so many people that work for the UFC. There's so many different jobs that people are doing. You know, like today I got a message from one of the ladies just asking if I was injured. You know, no, I'm fine. You know, they just want to know, you know, if they need to buy insurance. Okay, that's one thing. I get emails. The new owners just sent me an email. I mean, they mass email to everyone, but just we are excited for your future and, you know, that. I get, you know, obviously I have to sign my whereabouts for the USADA and let them know all the time where I'm at.
And they found you the other day.
They just found me the other day. They showed up to my house. I was not there where I was supposed to be. And I was at the gym, and they called me, and they're like, you're going to need to come back. You have an hour to get here. So I did. And that was quite a process, you know, something that I hope they don't keep doing. It was like, drink this water, sit here for 20 minutes, don't move. Then we'll take your blood. Then you have to pee in a cup in front of us. It's a mess.
And this is an off-competition test, right? Not non-competition test, right?
Yeah.
That's just so they just contact you as part of the thing. How often do you know that happens to UFC fighters? Because, I mean, it's a big deal right now with UFC. Everybody's tested.
I feel like everyone I know is getting tested.
And I can't
all the time.
Imagine, like, you even at a Taco Bell would be like, I don't know, can I eat that? Can I not eat that? Like, I mean, I'd be scared everywhere.
Yeah, I went to the strength and conditioning gym today, and he's like, do you want a protein drink? I made it already. It's pre-made. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, I trust drinks at the bar more than I'm trusting this protein drink, man.
You know all that stuff's NSF certified anyway.
Yeah, so. I know. It's okay. He already gave me the rundown of it.
I got
it.
You back.
Yeah, he gave me the rundown, and I drink it, hopefully. Yeah, I get nervous a little bit.
So they communicate with you?
All the time.
Do they give you a little bit insight of what direction they're doing your career? Do you kind of know a little bit, or do they not?
No, they don't really say anything. I've talked to Sean Shelby a little bit. James keeps in contact with them quite a bit. I know they talk frequently. So I don't know what their plan is. I hope, you know, I don't know if they, hopefully they like me. I mean, I think they should.
Oh, no, I think you're in.
What's not
in,
to like?
I mean, in for a long time.
I mean,
time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're, I knew.
We knew right in the beginning.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
And
yeah, it was obvious.
It was one of those things.
I tried to grab Dana White's nutsack on the weigh-in day, and he laughed about it.
Wait, what? Said,
well,
wait,
well,
hold on.
We have a sentence I didn't think I would hear when I woke up this morning. You know, you ever just have one of those? So I tried to grab Dana White's nutsack at the weigh-in.
Let's back up here. Which weigh-in casually. Are you talking about?
My official weigh-in in the UFC on TV, like in front of everyone. I had a plan. I was going to go up and grab his nuts, but like, these are mine. And I thought
I really wish you would have.
I tried. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to. I had a huge plan. Like, I was going to do it in front of everyone. And the camera's on us. Yeah. I'm on stage. And as I went to reach, he, like, slid back. And he knew, like, he thought I was trying to, like, sack tap him or something. And then he, like, kind of, like, arm dragged me and pulled me aside. He's like, then he complimented me, so that was nice. He was like, "You look fucking ripped or something, lean or something." And I was like, "Well, I fight at 115. I would fucking hope so." I'm sorry for swearing.
No, that's fine. No, you can swear in here.
My apologies.
You're my new hero.
This is a podcast, so you can say anything you want.
Yeah. Oh. You tried to cup check.
I didn't sign a
Tana
waiver.
White. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. So obviously you're relaxed.
It's just awesome.
That's cool.
That's just awesome.
No, I mean,
awesome.
It is because it
really is cool.
I thought
if he allowed it, like.
Oh, that would have been viral.
If he allowed
viral.
It, that would have crossed into creepy. If he, like, leaned into it and, like, you grabbed me, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, now it's a different animal at that point.
There was, like, an underground, like, I don't know, discussion about it. They're like, did anyone see Cooper try to? And like, they put gifts.
I got a message
they put gifts
stuff.
About it. Yeah, oh, and they're yeah. like, and little gifts. And I'm like, looking at it, I'm like, God, I do look like an asshole. Like, it does look like I went to just like nutsack them, but I was trying to grab them. Whatever people say.
These are mine.
I was just going to look him right in the eyes like, these are mine. And see what awesome. He did. I really embarrassed him. He was like, I told him, he asked me later, like, yeah. what the hell was going on? I told him what I was going to do. And he like, I've never seen like someone get so embarrassed so quick. Like, his hands went to his side. And he's like,
what?
He's like, what? You're this is the craziest shit I've ever heard. I'm like, well, I need you to respect me. And then, you know, during the season, he called me. I was really bossy. He said,
"Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like things done my way. He doesn't do things.
I'll have to remember the next time I want somebody to respect me.
Just
grab the balls.
These are mine.
Yeah,
these
are
so
mine.
Give us, right you said
it'd
that
be
you said,
it'd be really weird coming from you, though.
Yeah,
that's what.
I'm just saying.
Maybe, yeah. maybe not.
If you grab my balls.
So you already know those like, are mine. So don't worry about it.
I was going to say like that would change from last Thursday. I mean,
was it last Thursday?
Yeah, it was last Thursday. Yeah, but give us an example. You said that you said that
together.
You know you like your like things being done in a certain way. He felt you were a little bossy. Give us an example of like what that entailed.
Well, when she tried to grab his nuts,
before that, like the first day we were there, he pulled. You know, it was before the elimination fights. He had us all in the room and. You know, we all have to wear microphones, and we're standing there, and he's like, before the cameras are rolling, he's like, all right, you know, we're going to explain all this, and we're going to do the matchup. So he's telling us what we're going to do, and they're like, the camera people are like, hey, make sure everyone, you have your microphone showing, because some people had it under their shirts, and and I looked at Dana, and his wasn't. So I was like, Dana, pull that out. We can't see it. And I'm like screaming from the back, you know. He was like, geez, you're bossy. And it was like, the first day I met him, and then, you know, I told him about what I planned to do when I went to grab his nuts. And then later he introduced me to this guy, Gary. And he's like, have you met Gary? Have you met him? He like wanted me to do it. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
I don't know who this
guy. Like, he thought it'd be funny. He was like, have you met Gary? Like, I'm like, no.
Poor Gary.
Poor Gary, yeah. He was like really – he didn't look like – you know, he was super straight up, like, informal and no fun. So I didn't want to do that to Gary.
Now, let's talk about the past week in UFC. The big news is Diaz McGregor 2. What were your thoughts on the fight? I had an opportunity to interview Hoyce Gracie, who was in town, and he had Diaz winning. What do you think?
I was a little intoxicated, so I just want you guys to know that I'm not I believe that Diaz won in my like intoxicated mind because I wanted him to win. And when I watched the fight, I thought he won. Just, you know, I didn't even think, like, I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. But I did think Diaz won. I thought it was close that, like, I can't even be too upset with a decision. But I thought, for sure, I thought Diaz won. I mean.
I agree. But I'll say, like, McGregor, like, he looked really
I just want to say that Anthony was also intoxicated.
I was not. That's a lie. That's a lie.
I don't know. I saw pictures.
I was being the responsible one. No, you don't. I was just because I'm with everybody doesn't mean I'm following.
He's like,
the
I wasn't intoxicated.
No,
I was
please.
Drunk.
Like, I've never been
I was
no,
drunk
no.
before.
We know you way too well,
no,
Anthony.
You don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, I was being extremely
He's like, intoxicated insinuates that
water.
I can stand.
Thanks. Just water for me.
Just water.
That's pretty much how I do it.
Yeah.
You guys have been out with me. You know.
I don't know. You did post video of you lighting
tires.
Yeah, what was that about?
Like, I mean,
how intoxicated were you then?
No, you do that. That's how you do that.
It was after, like, drinking water.
It was actually because
I saw
no
the video too. It wasn't
like
good.
You take starting. All right, so my friend's like a pro drifter. You know, like drip, you know, racing. You know, drift
there's
racing.
Nothing you can say to make this okay.
We needed to mount some tires. There's no tire machine. I was like, I got this. So I took some ether, sprayed it between the rim and the tire, and just lit that shit up, and it explodes, and it beads it, and set up there.
So my dad's a mechanic, and we did that yes. one time. A friend of his did it,
and his beard just went up in flames.
No, it wasn't my dad. I have a story about when my dad's beard went up in flames, but it wasn't this time. But he put too much in. And
is this
so
a long story?
When it blew, it like burnt all the hair off his arm, off the side of his head. Yeah.
Yeah, he has no hair on his arm.
It was bad.
I have no hair on my head.
Well, I noticed you cut the video right at that.
Actually,
so either you cried like a baby.
No, he's
something
right.
happened.
Because you can hear it. Just as the video ends, you hear it.
No, that's
so
actually.
So you know it finished with. Oh, Jesus, God!
Tried to look cool, you cut it right at the moment.
No, see, actually, what happened was it was actually on a Snapchat. My buddy was Snapchatting me, and I was like, I need that, so send that to me, please. So, it literally, the Snapchat cut right then.
Yeah, Snapchat's only 10 seconds.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
Like it actually happened like that, but the squeaking noise actually is. You guys gotta watch
it. Perfect.
Watch it. It's
perfect.
It's great. Right? The tire, like, yeah, whatever. Fuck it.
I just love your dad's response on Facebook.
So
I
was funny.
Like, and then I had to like go under it too. I was like, what are you doing?
I died. I
just
made him like
little emojis of like hospitals and like, you know, shit like that.
He was just, I just could picture him saying that to you.
Yeah, he thinks I'm an idiot. So
here's the question: would you do it
You're
again?
You're not disproving it with me.
No, yeah,
like
I did
that.
It with all four tires. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
We were only just lucky to catch one.
I'm a badass.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So you had Diaz, even though you might have had a little bit of judgment going from alcohol, you had Diaz winning the fight. Jimmy, you had Diaz winning
the fight? I had Diaz 3-2.
All right, let's listen to Diaz after the fight. Courtesy of UFC.
I thought I won at least three rounds in two, and I didn't think that was even a question. So, obviously, I felt like I could have done better and did some better things. But, I thought I won the fight, and then they gave it to him. I'm not going to sound all bitter because it's all good. I got paid. It's all good, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think he did much. And, did a lot of running in that fight, and I think I've been saying, and my brother's been saying for years, like in pride, like he should have got yellow card for that type of thing, you know. He ran the whole fight. You see me chasing him around that thing, I'm like, where are you going? You're scared to engage. And I feel like they should have took points for that, and on top of me winning anyway, I think that they should have took points, which wouldn't have let him to win the fight. So that's how I feel about the whole fight, the whole situation.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the post-fight interview, he can barely see out of both eyes. Both of his cheeks are just completely swollen up. I mean, yeah, McGregor might have been running from him, but he was not engaging. He
right.
put a beat down on Diaz.
He lit him up, but you don't score on that, though.
Right.
Like,
yes,
I mean,
I know.
You know, damage shouldn't really technically come into it.
No, I agree.
I had it different than Amanda Bobby Cooper. I had it different than Hoyce Gracie. I had probably McGregor winning an extra round. I thought McGregor looked sharp. But as much as I like the Diaz brothers and they're entertaining, you got to remember that I don't put them in, you know, the elite to ever fight in the UFC, you know? And it's time for Conor to get back down to the weight he's supposed to be at and start taking care of business and everything like that.
Absolutely.
Do you get more audio from Diaz?
No, but I have some audio from McGregor.
All right, let's hear Conor.
So obviously you came here on crutches. Talk to us about the injury. And was there an injury on the foot or leg leading into the fight as well?
My ankle was a bit banged up going into my left ankle. We were practicing leg kicks in camp. And I jarred it, but look, that's nothing. Right now it's my shin. He's a lot better at dealing with leg kicks than he was, I feel. He checked one beautifully. I kicked the knee straight, but I still just kept throwing it. And now I'm paying for it now. My shin is just banged up. But that's it. Other than that, I'm brand new.
Let's talk about the fight round by round. First couple of rounds, you managed to knock him down, but you clearly didn't want to go to the ground with him. Was that a strategy?
Look, I just didn't want to smother my work, whether that be on the feet or if I drop him or on the mat. One of the things I made a mistake of in the push, and I smothered my work. I hit him and I overrushed what I was doing. I hurt him badly in that first fight a few times, and I over exerted myself trying to get the finish. So this time I was a lot more calculated. I feel that first round was a 10-8 round. I picked him off and I dropped him. I'm happy with it. I mean, but as it went on, his durability comes into play and his size comes into play. I was 167 leaving. I was even lighter than I was for the weigh-ins leaving for the fight. So he was about 25 pounds heavier than me in there. And man, he's as tough as they come. I cussed him. I mean, his face was leaking, and he's still in my face. And he's very good against the fences. He digs the head under the chin, opens up to the body. I just knew I was going to be in these situations. I anticipated, so I caught a few of them on the elbows, and I hit him one or two back to the body, and that kind of swayed it in my favor. But it was a hell of a fight. Very.
All right.
The part I wanted us to get of Diaz, and I know I didn't give you enough direction, Jimmy, but I want to ask Amanda Bobby Cooper before we go to our first break here in a minute. Really quickly, Diaz said not to make excuses, and then what he did is made excuses, which is funny. And he said that he was injured. He was banged up. He had it on film. Here you hear Conor McGregor said he was injured and banged up. Amanda Bobby Cooper, this is a question to you. Isn't it almost impossible to go into a fight 100% after a good camp?
I don't think I've ever – yeah, there's always nicks and bruises. There's always something bothering you. But, like, what I mean, I fought for 2 years on a torn ACL.
Right,
like
until it just
– my leg would just, like, pop out, and I would just, like, put it back in, you know, and keep going. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I could have fought better at those times too. But, I mean, I go in every fight with, like, some type of injury. But I don't think I've ever, noticed it too much. I mean, it's a fight. Like, someone's trying to, you know, it's different than, like, that boxing shit that Anthony does, but...
Shit.
he's awake. I don't know. I feel like injuries just it's not an excuse, you know. You fought. You wanted to fight. Obviously, it wasn't bad enough where you couldn't fight. You still performed.
Right. I don't think I ever went to a fight without at least a cortisone shot, like, for real.
Right.
Were you... How long did you fight with that busted hand?
I had... like a year?
Yeah.
A year, and then I was like, okay, I got to get surgery now.
Right. I mean, that a year. You were fighting out with a busted hand for a year. I mean, that's crazy. Marv bangs his finger, and he takes off work for a week.
My first six fights.
OSHA.
I had torn rotator cuffs. My first six fights, I had torn rotator cuffs.
All right. Well, I want to invite you guys back for sure another segment. You're more than welcome to stay. Who do we got interviewing after in a few minutes?
We have, after we come off the break, we have Ari Leah Cisneros.
Guy.
No, it's a female MMA fighter. She's going to be fighting at
KOP this week.
KOP this weekend in Grand Rapids.
Awesome. Yeah. So then we want Amanda Bobby Cooper to ask some questions too, especially coming from women's MMA. Barnes, we're going to whip you back in shape.
I'm
ask some questions, man.
MMA too, so.
What?
Ask some questions.
What? We also have Dwayne Williams coming up later on in the segment.
So you could ask. All right. So let's go to our first music break. We'll be back with Amanda Bobby Cooper.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Worst segue ever.
This is a good song.
No, if you listen to the live show, we at The Undercard apologize. For that
cacophonous mistake that just happened. Brad told us it was music, but we're not sure. If you're listening to the recorded archive, consider yourself lucky.
Nah. Remember in the old days when Goomba Music actually got us launched and they gave us money every week to do it, but we only had four songs in rotation. I think that might have been – I mean, they were
if that song had been in our rotation, I would have quit on day one.
All right, so we are going to call our first guest. Jimmy, give the introductions. She's 5-0, fighting out of Lansing.
Jimmy, give the phone number so everybody knows.
Or not give the introduction. He's listening to the show, I think.
He's making sure we're back.
It's okay, Jimmy. You don't have to listen. You're part of the show.
He's a fan.
Brad, how many times have I told you?
I appreciate it.
I'm listening to the live feed to make sure everything's going.
Every listen matters.
Thanks. Yes. So you can't ask me to do something because I don't hear it.
I got it, dude. Every
listen. Does everyone know how to
say
your name?
Someone has to listen to the station.
Right? Jimmy knows how to pronounce
Aurelia.
It better. So, Jimmy.
I'm going to screw that up.
Can you say that again?
Aurelia.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Aurelia?
Yep, this is her.
Hi, Aurelia. This is Jimmy with the undercard. We have Aurelia Cisneros. She's going to be fighting. I'm sorry, what? Say that again?
Cisneros.
I apologize. She's going to be fighting in Grand Rapids this weekend. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Hello?
I recently graduated. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
You. Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I am a mother of one. She's three. I'm 24 years old. I was born and raised in Lansing, Michigan. And I recently graduated from...
Oh, there we made a lot.
My bachelor's in criminal justice. Mm-hmm. And I like to fight, so that's about it.
All right, you're 5-0. You're going against a 2-1 fighter in Claire Guthrie this weekend at KOP. I did get a chance to watch your last fight against Melinda Oberlin. I watched it on a video feed and stuff. Some people had Oberlin winning it. Tell us why you believe you for sure, without a doubt, won that last fight.
That fight, if you take a look and you watch from the YouTube inside the cage, you'll see that I definitely outlanded more strikes than what she had. I did more damage. I know it was a really close fight, and it might have looked like she may have won because she had more control of the center of the cage. But in the end, I still believe I still landed more punches.
I had you winning.
Than her. And now she's actually... Yeah, she actually... joined Mercy Lago, so she's now part of my team. She's my teammate now.
So there's no chance of a rematch, probably.
No, she came to us and told us that she wanted to join Mercy, and me and her are actually training partners now. She recently had a injury, but to pull out because she was also supposed to be fighting with me on this card at KOP, but got hurt during practice.
All right. We're joined by Amanda Bobby Cooper, also Anthony Barnes, pro boxer. So they might come in and occasionally ask you a question. I'm gonna put them on the spot and ask a question here. But KOP is a promotion. We're from the east side of the state. It's got a lot of good fighters, this card. You seem to have found a home there, and you guys got quite the little MMA card going. If you go 6-0, are you looking to go pro?
Pro status is, this is my first time reaching 145. I don't know if you know that. But
yes, I did. You fought 155.
At a lower weight class. The weight part is a little struggle for me right now. I need to learn how to cut in a healthy way and continue that. And once I get that down packed, then, pro status may be in the future for me.
All right. She might have dropped the phone, but I was going to say there's more opportunities at a lower weight in women's MMA. Is that why you're looking to test 145, and is that the end result, or are you even looking to go a little bit lower?
I'm looking to eventually, once I do plan on going pro, I do want to eventually go 135 as a pro fighter. And, you know, that's going to take some time, especially for us women. It's not as easy as men cutting weight, but I definitely want to get lower in class. There's more of a variety of women fighting at a lower class. There's not too many women fighting at 55, you know, so that's why I'm coming down to 45. And I know most women fight at 35. So definitely want to eventually reach 35 in the end.
All right. Aurelia brought up a good point. Amanda, I want to ask you really quick, because I was actually around a female boxer this past week who mentioned that, you know, it was her time of the month, and it makes it more difficult for a weight cut. Tell us a little bit. Is it difficult, like Aurelia says, for a female to cut weight, especially with, like, you know, women's health hitting?
Tell us all about your personal
health. Let me tell you. Honestly, I think it is hard, but I don't remember a fight that I – or a weight cut that I wasn't on my period. I feel like it always goes together, like your emotions and stuff like that. Like, it always just times out right or something. It's terrible. Even the girls on my team are like, man, every time they have a fight, they're on their period. But, I mean, you hold water a little bit more, but, like, you should have been dieting before, you know? That's not going to affect dieting and losing weight. You know, it might 2 pounds of water, but that's, you know, it shouldn't be, like, the only thing that help, you know, holds you back is that 2 pounds of, like, mm-hmm. bloated water, I guess. I don't know. I don't really want to go into this too much further. It's difficult. I feel like just cutting weight as a female is a lot harder than males anyway.
It's hard as a dude, like, all right? No, for real. Like, I'm trying to fight like 160, but I keep going up. I'm a light heavyweight right now.
Yeah, Barnes agrees. He always seems to be on his period.
It's true.
Aurelia, I got to ask you.
He's irritable.
Aurelia, I got to ask you. You got a lot of fan support. Is there any ill will towards Claire going into this fight? Tell us a little bit background about how this fight came about. Was it somebody that approached you, or KOP approached you about taking this fight? And what do you know about Claire?
KOP goes through my coach, Joaquin, and Joaquin, my coach, had told me that they have someone for me that wanted to fight me, Claire Guthrie. I've watched her fight actually at the Ron DeLeon show, and that was the first time I ever seen her fought. I know that she's a wrestler, so this is definitely a different type of fighter for myself, but that's... I don't know too much, but she's a wrestler.
All right. Tell everybody in Team Undercard, our Fight Club out there, how they can follow your career. I see that you have a Snapchat. I do see – how do you want people to follow your career? Do you have a fan page yet, or you just want them to add on, you on Facebook?
I'm going
to
follow you on Snapchat right now.
Snapchat is very popular right now. My Snapchat is CISNER18. Also, my Instagram is MMA_TheBeast, and then I do have a Facebook page, Aurelia the Beast is that. So they can follow me through there for sure.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Aurelia, and we wish you the best of luck this week.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Very cool. She's fighting Saturday KOP. I got to make it out to a KOP. If Carlos didn't have a boxing show, there's always something going on that I'm covering the boxing for Fight News, so I'm unable to make it. But our good friend Cody Stamen will actually be
Well, he's fighting, right?
He's the main event.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the main event.
Yeah.
So.
The Ferrari.
The Stamen.
Exactly.
We have to get those memes started again for Cody.
Yes.
And, like, put him out right before his fight. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that anytime.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we're back with Amanda Bobby Cooper and Anthony Barnes, and we're just going to talk some general topics for this hour. But we do have
– looks to me like they would like to talk about what?
Snapchat?
Yeah.
We do have Dwayne Williams, who is actually boxing this weekend on Saturday. Eastern Market Shed 5. It's Dual Combat Sports. You can still get tickets available and stuff, and we'll talk to Dwayne Williams about his fight a little bit. But if you guys remember, I did introduce a segment last week in which I called it bandwagon or gossip. And we did the gossip part of it. So now we're going to do the bandwagon part of it.
Okay.
And I'm going to give everybody three subjects to talk about a little bit. And if you guys want to fill in, that's cool. So really quickly, are you on the bandwagon or are you not on the bandwagon? That's pretty much it. Burger King's coming out with the Whopperito.
Already came out.
Okay. Well, it has come out.
Yes.
It looks delicious. It'll ruin stuff, Jimmy.
It's not your turn yet.
Sorry. Yeah, so apparently Jimmy's off the bandwagon. This Whopperito, Google it right now, Barnes. It looks delicious.
He's already had it.
Get one later.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding, guys. I've been better with my food. Not great, but better. So.
How much pasta have you had this week?
Zero.
All right.
I've been trying to stay away from carbs. Like noodles.
Wait, what was that pause?
It's true, but there is a pile of Slim Jims. Like a full on pile.
There's no carbs right
here. Also, yeah, we went to Mongolian. He didn't get the tortillas and he
didn't
get
the rice. Thanks for the Mongo invite.
I didn't get the rice. I didn't get. You were here. We're going to surprise you and then you fucked that up.
Could have surprised me at Mongo.
Hey, come on up here.
Hey, Brad, instead of doing the show, why don't we go to Mongolian Barbecue?
Well, we were at our strength conditioning gym or mine or whatever, and she was there working out with us. And so we didn't get out until, right before the show. So we just kind of, winged it.
So back to the subject. Whopperito's out. I'll segue right over there. We're talking too much food for Barnes. But the Whopperito, Marv, are you in on the Whopperito or not?
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Are you looking at the real picture? Or are you looking at the Burger King picture?
I don't know. I'm looking at a picture of it. But what is more entertaining to me are the first two reviews. One says, "We tried the Whopperito, the burger that fits in your cup holder."
Yes.
which I think is great. And then the next one is, "I ate Burger King's Whopperito because I am a trash person."
That's what I'm talking about.
I actually wrote that
review. My life is a dumpster fire.
I actually wrote that review.
Marv, you going to try it? Jump on the bandwagon or get off?
I doubt it.
No.
I'm not a big fan of Burger King in general.
Neither am
though.
I. I don't eat fast food at all.
If I eat fast food, it's like Tim Hortons or Subway. Like I don't like to do the other ones. And the Burger King by my house is the slowest.
The one on
anything. Like it's like I don't. You can be the only car there. It's going to take 18 minutes to get through. They're just the slowest ever.
Telegraph and Van Buren.
Yeah,
right?
I don't. Plus, whenever I hear Burger King, I remember when I was a kid that they grind up worms and put it in their meat.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what everybody said because it tasted different. Yeah. They,
allegedly.
It was allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Allegedly.
Barnes, you gonna try the Whopperito?
No, probably not. But
not well.
No,
like,
wait, hold on.
Not just today, but like ever. Just in general.
No, probably not. Honestly, because I don't eat fast food. So I'd rather eat like
I looked at the trash person.
Or potatoes.
How about you, ABC?
Absolutely not.
Not going to touch the Whopperito. No. And then Jimmy, you've had an experience with the Whopperito.
I had it. I tried it, and not good.
Well, what was bad about it?
Because it's not. See, I thought it was going to be a Whopper just in a burrito, but it's not. They like spice the meat to make it like spicier or whatever, and it was terrible.
It's supposed to be like a taco.
It's supposed to be a taco, but they use the Whopper burger.
All right, I have to read you the first part of the "I eat a Burger King Whopperito because I am a trash person." it's from Vice. It is Nick Gazin. Rome has crumbled, and we're all shuffling around in the rubble, clawing at the hope that a bright golden age might still be ahead of us. The Renaissance that I once thought we were looking forward to has turned out to just be a cheap Ren fair full of fat jerks saying thee and thine. What I mean to say is the Whopperito is here.
Nice. That describes it perfectly. I agree with that, man.
I want to hang out with that guy.
I know.
Rochelle, you going to try the Whopperito?
No, because I'm looking at what they perceive to be the Whopper burrito, how beautiful. It's supposed to be colorful. And then you see the real ones.
I look better farther away, too. Like, you can't.
No, these are very up close.
Yeah.
And it's just. Oh, it's a mess.
Jimmy makes it sound like he had to hit a Port-a-John on the side of 75. Like, I didn't know the meats were that spicy.
Actually,
these look like they did in the burrito.
Jimmy had to go.
Kind of.
Jimmy had to go. Yeah. Well, we're going to stay on the food kick. So right. If you watched
So are you on board? Are you?
If you notice, last week I didn't do that in part of the segment. The segment's more about you. I'll try it.
Ooh. All right.
Less you or less me, more you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll try one. I will try one.
All right.
So let's stay on the food kick because Barnes is here. The Olympics ran a great commercial, even if you don't like McDonald's. McDonald's had this great commercial introducing new chicken nuggets. Now, if you didn't know, chicken nuggets had to be dyed to get to that color. Not only were they dyed to get to that color, they used a lot of ingredients that parents deemed as unhealthy. But now they're back. And
the FDA,
they're not going to use sodium phosphates. They are not going to use food additives that the company said that can keep the chicken moist now. And there will not be fried in an oil containing the artificial preservative TBHQ. And they're not going to dye it anymore. This is real chicken.
So it's just going to be a big brown ball of.
No.
It's going to be that pink goo.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So if you've ever seen the...
with breadcrumbs on it and thrown in to hot oil. Right.
So if you've ever seen the pink chicken nugget, you never ate a chicken nugget after you saw that expose on them. Do you trust McDonald's this time? Are these nuggets real, Marv? Are you on the bandwagon, or are you still not ever going to touch a chicken nugget?
I don't go to McDonald's.
You can't trust Whole Foods, let alone McDonald's.
I don't go to McDonald's, and I damn sure don't want to eat chicken nuggets. It wasn't just the pink slime one. I also saw a thing online where they did it wasn't an electron microscope, but like crazy close up, like pictures of what was supposed to be chicken, but they showed like this is what chicken looks like under a microscope and this is what your chicken nugget looks like, and the chicken nugget looked a lot like a landscape of Europa.
So Marv's off the bandwagon. How about you, Barnes? You on?
The last time I ate chicken nuggets, I was in high school. I had a race who could finish 100 first.
Did you really win?
No, I did. I have no question that you ate the most.
No, what I want to know is,
I enjoyed it, but after that, I never won.
Chicken nugget.
And I don't eat there anyway.
Okay, we all know he doesn't eat fast food.
ABC, would you trust McDonald's again?
No.
Absolutely not.
I don't. Well, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Right. I wouldn't trust McDonald's, but I'm still poor as shit, so I probably still eat McDonald's.
So you think the meat's probably better?
No, but I just won't have a choice because I only have a dollar in my pocket.
So do you eat chicken nuggets?
No, I usually eat whatever's on the dollar menu.
Okay.
Because, again, I have a dollar to my name.
Rochelle, would you trust them this time they're real?
I've never ate one, and I never will.
Okay.
She never ate a chicken nugget?
Nope.
Damn, I'm going to make you.
No, I'm good, really. I smell them. That's enough.
All right, last bandwagon question. Diaz McGregor, everybody wants the third fight. Dana White doesn't sound like they're going to get the third fight. This fight lived up to the hype. Maybe the first fight quite didn't.
Why would they have a third fight? I don't understand.
Because I think they want McGregor to move down and everything. Yeah. So, Marv, are you on the bandwagon to have a trilogy to this fight to see who is dominant? Or do you... Okay. Barnes, you want to see a trilogy of this?
Absolutely. It's like when you play rock, paper, scissors. Best out of two.
Best out of three.
We can't tie.
Yeah, just can't.
Anthony plays rock, paper, scissors by himself and still loses.
She's like my biggest hater.
I just walk around. I definitely want to see a third fight. I mean, it's upsetting they're not even my dad.
I think they will down the road. I think the money's there, but I think that there's the whole not right now kind of thing.
There it is.
201.
I was like, what is
201.
That?
Obligatory
Brad's phone going off.
201 episodes still happening.
I think there will be a McGregor Diaz 3. I would like to see it. But I don't. I think it's going to happen. I think McGregor is going to go down. He's going to fight a couple more times at his normal weight, and then they'll do another Diaz McGregor. I don't think it's going to be the next fight they both have.
All right, Rochelle, do you want to see a trilogy?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't care. I mean, they don't have to fight again.
And by trilogy, he means Cody with no shirt on.
Yep.
No, she don't want to be part of that bandwagon.
Yep.
I'm on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
I imagine the fighters, they got paid enormously. And this was the biggest purses in UFC history. This is good for you. I mean, when purses are rising, that's a good thing. Like when Barnes, with boxing and purses hitting just crazy numbers.
I think Conor winning is better for the sport. Like I like Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I want him to – he's going to do more for the sport. So I'd rather see him, you know, be successful, I guess, just a little of my selfish ways.
Now, see, what you were describing earlier with Dana White – that's kind of what
ball,
works.
Ball grabbing or
yeah, kind of.
Marv just spit. I've never in 201 shows I've never seen Marv actually almost spit.
That's all me.
My second spit take on the show. The first one was like episode 6 or something.
Oh,
but that's personality. Personality wins in UFC.
Personality goes a long
way.
Conor
McGregor. ESPN doesn't cover a lot of UFC. But they did cover the Conor McGregor Diaz fight because you had a situation in which Conor McGregor is right now because Ronda's not fighting and John Jones is not fighting again. It's the biggest name for them right now, Conor McGregor. I think it's irrelevant if he fights Diaz again. And here's why. I'd like to see him move down again and get where he should be anyways. They're talking about him maybe fighting at 155. I'd love to see Jose Aldo, fight. I don't know. There's other fights out there for him. Yeah. And then if the Diaz thing happens again, whatever. I mean, it was a win for UFC. It was a good fight card. It was a really good fight card.
The fighters fight, the promoters promote, and everybody wins.
Exactly. Yeah. Just make it just simple.
I mean,
like that.
Whoever he's matched up with, there's going to be like some sort of drama or something. Everyone's going to forget about the Diaz fight if they don't have it.
Right.
You know, if he fights Jose Aldo again, there's going to be like, you know, drama with that. So they're going to forget about Diaz. It'll be fine in 2 months.
And I felt like, and I'll ask ABC this, I don't know why, but because Aldo, it was such a flash knockout, I'm more apt to give that guy the rematch.
Because it's like freak, you know, freak incident. You're like, it's not going to happen again. So maybe it will. I don't know.
Walked into Conor's punch and just went down.
And he was like, for 10 years,
undefeated, the best, pound for pound.
He's the man. So I'm like a huge fan of his. So I want to see him.
Right. I'd love to see Aldo get a chance. When it's a flash knockdown, and I'm not taking anything away from the win, I'd like to see what Aldo could do against Conor. Right. And I'd like to see how Conor defends somebody again like that.
Exactly.
So we're going to go to our last break, or not our last break, our second to last break. We're going to come back with what's on tap. Hopefully ABC and Barnes will stick around for one more segment.
He's going to be mad at me because I'm going to pour water in his seat while he's gone.
All right, and I'll talk to everybody soon.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, we're back, and we're going straight into What's on Tap. All right, once again, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to do a quick little thing. We just had the Olympics. So I'm going to name the winners. In the women's middle 75-kilogram, Clarissa Shields of the United States.
T-Rex.
Yep. She wins gold. In men's fly 52 kilograms, we have Shakhob Eden Zirov of Uzbekistan. He wins the gold. Men's light welterweight 64 kilograms, we have Faz Linden Gabinazarov, who is also from Uzbekistan. He wins gold. And in the men's super heavyweight, over 91 kilograms, we have Tony Yoka from France. He wins gold. Moving on to boxing, August 23rd at Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You can watch it on PBC on Fox Sports 1. We have Caleb Plant versus Juan D'Angel. 10 rounds for the super middleweights. on August 27th at Anaheim, California. You can watch it on PBC on Spike. We have Robert Guerrero versus David Peralta, 12 rounds for the welterweights. Moving on to MMA, August 26th, Bellator 160. Henderson versus Pitbull in the Honda Center, Los Angeles, California. And August 27th, UFC on Fox Sports 20 or Fox Sports 21. We have Condit versus, I think it's pronounced Maja, and Rogers Arena, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
You mentioned Clarissa Shields from Flint, Michigan.
Flint, yeah.
Two gold medals, which is a record.
Yes.
And not only that, Heather Hardy won on PBC.
Yes.
And it was the first woman's fight on PBC. A huge Heather Hardy fan. And that was the thing we were kind of lobbying for in our radio show, is to get women's boxing there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amanda Bobby Cooper just sat back down here really quick. Women's... Women's MMA took
that
off.
Except me.
And now we're starting to see it in boxing. You come from a boxing background, but Shields is a great story. Winning two gold medals, T-Rex from around here. But now Heather Hardy from Brooklyn is bringing women's boxing in the forefront. Tarts is just giving her hell. Be like, you box?
Yeah.
You think boxing will follow where women's MMA did, that it will become mainstream?
No.
No?
I'm sorry.
No, no, be honest. Tell
no,
us why.
I don't. I think it's just dying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like a little bit, you know, good things happening, which is, will always be up and down. There's always be up and down, but it'll never get as big or, I don't know.
You think for sure there's more women MMA people than there is women boxers. There's probably less than 200 women boxers in probably the United States.
Right.
At least
the
what
UFC
box
promotes way better than... like boxing, period. Like,
And now, like, MMA is so big; it's the fastest rising sport like ever. So when a little girl wants to get into it, what are you doing? You know, you're teaching her self defense, jujitsu. You're teaching her boxing, yeah. But and then it's gonna always go to MMA, probably. You know, before when boxing was so big, there was no MMA.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have an option. It was like, well, I like to punch people in the face. Well, then do boxing. But now, if you want to punch people in the face, man, you can kick them in the face. You get other forms of attacks. And I just feel like if you have the choice, you're going to go to MMA.
See, that's an interesting perspective because and I value your opinion because you're a female, obviously, pro. I'm rooting for women's boxing to somehow get in the mainstream. I'd like to see it happen.
I mean, I always like watching the women fight more anyway, no matter what, but... So, yeah, I do like watching – I like watching women's boxing.
The problem is promoters are never going to come together to make it as big like that. They could. You know what I mean? They all use the same sanctioning bodies for the titles, but mm-hmm. they're never going to do that. So it's never going to be as big. Just
yeah.
The way it's going to be.
I think what hurts it is there's not a lot of fighters, though, too.
Too much political.
I mean, I had a couple girls that were just training boxing for my old boxing gym, and they contacted me and said, I need some girls to spar with, just boxing. That's all they do. I'm like, yep, come out to the gym. So we had girls come in at their weight, and we had them spar. And probably 3 days later, they all paid memberships to come train at and do MMA. Like, it just...
Do all around.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, this is actually really fun. Like, I want to do more. Your team looks really awesome. And they, like, start... Now they fight MMA for our team, and you know, in a couple of months. So it's, like, it's just hard when there's more options.
Right. There's more cards to be on. And, like I said, women's MMA, I don't think it's even peaked yet. I mean, you had one superstar with Ronda Rousey. And I think that you're going to have now an influx of stars, too. Paige VanZant is huge. ABC's up there, too, because, like, a lot of people – I mean, you're getting fan mail. That's the –
Yeah.
awesome pictures.
Yeah.
Awesome pictures. So really quickly, too, tell everybody about what's going on at SFS. We love Scorpion Fighting Systems. I know you guys have moved into a new compound. You have actually rooms for fighters that travel.
Yeah, we got dorm rooms now, which was supposed to be for fighters to come in and train with us, but all we do is sit in the back and play video games all day. So it's, you know, it's good and bad. it's huge. We're every day, every week, and our instructors are getting together and trying to figure out, like, better ways to make the gym better. You know, we now have we have MMA every day of the week. We have jiu-jitsu every day of the week, multiple different – you know, gi jiu-jitsu, And we have multiple instructors per class. So, you know, we have beginners have a coach and advanced, and the fighters have a coach. Like, each fighter that has a fight is being pulled off to the side and worked one-on-one. You know, we used to not have that luxury. You know, it was like we only had a couple coaches. So, you know, just like one coach coached the entire class, and everyone's not getting what they want. We can't, you know, help everyone out. But now we got multiple instructors for every single class, and the fighters are getting more attention, and that's good for everyone. We're making everyone happy.
You talked to your friend Anthony Barnes about taking some MMA?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally
gonna, yeah, he can't.
I'm totally going to come over and just kick ass.
No, I tested him the other day and asked him if I could kick him 30% in a leg, and he was a baby.
Yeah.
So,
but did you offer to grab his balls?
No.
Did he yell?
She didn't want the respect.
I feel like they're like, not everyone knows the story behind that, so let's keep that.
No. Oh. I don't know if I can keep, but.
Then you told the story like nigh on to 40 minutes ago.
That's true. Hmm. Okay.
But was it a yelp like Barnes did when he almost let himself on fire?
No,
did it sound something like
that? It was like more of like a whine. It was just kind of like, you actually just did that.
He was like, oh, stop it.
Okay, Barnes.
Tell him my dad.
I'm right.
No, his dad was there. He was encouraging.
Okay. Of course he was.
But he, you know, like one leg, don't not too hard, don't hurt him kind of thing.
I'm concerned about your training choices here, Barnes. You're allowing a pro MMA fighter to kick you.
Yeah.
Possible injury. You're lighting stuff on fire with your hands in the vicinity. I feel like I should take out a life insurance policy that's going to cash soon.
I'm a wild card, you know, so I kind of do what I need to do at the time, and I wing everything.
Yeah.
And it usually works out. So,
except for his outfit today.
Usually.
Listen, she's such a hater. Like, you know what? I must be doing really well. She's hating really hard, so – you know.
Now, did you let Barnes kick you back? Because obviously you can take a kick. You can check a kick.
I don't think that he's confident in his ability to like, punch hit her. Target. That's it. You better hope I don't get back up.
Wow.
You won't.
I think you should allow him to try to kick
I will. Like,
him.
No. You know, he doesn't know what to do. He was like kicking balance. A soccer ball.
I don't really.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, I just kicked my flip-flop.
Yeah, he just like flips.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I thought it was like a muscle spasm, maybe an aneurysm. I wasn't sure.
But you don't think he could go to SFS and become an MMA star?
No.
I actually think he's too far gone into boxing.
Okay,
he's too far gone. You know, if it was like a couple amateur fights, that'd be good. But like, he's too far gone. You can't bring him back.
You know, I've been just, you know, 67 to 12 as an amateur, and then 9 pro fights.
Oh my god!
You know, all this shit, like kind of long. Just two in it. You know, she just kind of gave up.
But
you
know, actually, I was not very good. I had
when
no
I was
18 choice.
18 years old at U.S. Championships, and she was boxing.
Right.
Yeah. So we were on the same team. And then she just stopped.
Yeah, well, we were not good enough to keep going.
So. We were in the middle of a cornfield once. That's a true story. And she's like, "This is where I train boxing."
You're like, a cornfield.
Yeah.
It was a cornfield under a shed.
Well, she is from Bath, Michigan. So,
yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
We do got to talk about that too. Bath, Michigan.
That's all there is out there.
You were the Grand Marshal of Bath, Michigan.
I was the Grand Marshal of Bath. It was the coolest thing I've done. Like, I had such a great time.
She was at a parade of like 7 people.
How many parades you been in, Barnes?
Those 7. Probably a lot.
Oh, my God. Actually, I've been in parades.
Have you ever been the Grand Marshal?
Have you been the Grand Marshal of your town?
I've been me, which is way better.
It was so cool.
I'm just asking.
I signed autographs and like took pictures with people, and I was in the parade, obviously. And the people that drive the Grand Marshal every year were like, "You are by far the youngest of like 25 years to ever be like the Grand Marshal."
Usually, the Grand Marshal is like 100.
I felt like the Grinch from Whoville. Like, I felt like maybe some people don't really think I should be the Marshal, but then I did a speech and I started the bathtub races, which was cool. We do that every year.
That's a thing.
Bathtubs were raced on Main Street, man.
Like on wheels?
Huh. Yeah.
But is Main Street like
a go kart?
Can anyone join this? Like, can
you can make
it.
No, you can make
it. Can I join?
Once again, life choices, Barnes. Your training choices.
You have to make a bathtub with wheels, and then you compete in the tournament.
Does it have to hold water?
It has to. Like at one point, held 2 gallons of water.
Okay, so it can leak as it's going down the road.
Well, it doesn't have to have water in it. You know,
can it have a motor?
One person has to be in it, and then there's one person that pushes it till the certain.
So like
line.
Soapbox.
It's
derby.
Really, yeah. It's really like whoever gets the best push. You know, I kind of thought about making one and putting some like springs on it, but if it sprung the wrong, you know, like one push. I was, you know, I'm making one. It's gonna look like a scorpion.
Oh, my training choices. Yeah,
Where is Bath, Michigan?
Bath, Michigan is like 10 minutes north of Lansing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't. Like, we don't even have a stoplight.
It's right here.
No, really?
Not even,
no, it's right, not even a stoplight. And, okay, you know, the one pizza place like shut down because of tax. This is, I don't know. You know, we did have the first
and all they, and all they did was they bought DiGiorno's and
right,
in 1927 we had the first school bombing.
Yes, that is what Bath is famous for. That's what it's famous for. Yeah, that's how I
found it. Like a Brad Space.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
In 1927?
You were around
there, Jim? I believe it. Jim does a lot of stuff.
Also,
I know where you live.
The janitor,
and if I don't, I can find out from Brad.
We talked about this with the 313 Paranormal guys, because I think they did an investigation out there. It's supposed to be crazy haunted, too. But, yeah, some dude. Yeah, it was the janitor, right?
Is that what it was said? The janitor. He didn't want to pay the taxes anymore because, were building a new school. And so he's like, I'll just blow up the school. Yeah. And
I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah, and
so far, Barnes, you've talked about hitting a woman, and now you're blowing up schools.
She kicked me. And you know,
Barnes,
she is
Barnes.
I podcast that, will be admissible.
I understand that Floyd is one of your heroes, but please don't hit women, okay?
Oh, that was low.
Oh, wow,
damn, dude.
Yeah.
Poor Mayweather.
Mm. Poor Mayweather.
Somebody hit the
bell.
There you go. All right.
I mean, you shouldn't hit women, but I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know?
I know you do not hit women.
Period.
You shouldn't hit women.
I think you should.
Period.
Right.
No, that's where the sentence ends.
Okay, so, if a girl and a guy are arguing and a girl attacks the male, and like, I mean, you
restrain her. You don't hit her.
What if she like? Right,
you try restraining Amanda Bobby Huber.
If she is threatening your life, then you are allowed to hit her. But you do not, as the bigger person, or if you are stronger, hit them.
Pistol whip.
You no.
Just kidding.
You restrain them. You restrain them.
One of the guys. Heavyweights on the team. He has a situation like this. You know, he did the right thing, and I'll tell you what the right thing is. Okay. So he was out with this girl, and this is not PG-13.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, child?
You got to go in the other room.
See ya.
It's a quick story. You'll be back soon. Okay.
All right, go in the other room.
He was with this girl, and they were drinking all night, and they go back to the room, and she can still hear me.
She's taking the long way, too. She wants the story.
She's taking the long way around. She's like,
this story's going
to
be good.
She's like, this girl's dumb enough to tell me. Okay, this is the right choice.
Okay.
Big heavyweight guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's with this girl, and they're drinking all night, and they get back to their hotel room. He's like kind of feeling sick. You know, he's like, man, I feel like shit. She's trying to have sex with him. She's all over him, like trying to pull his pants down. He's like, listen, you got to calm down. He's like, you got to calm down. I don't want to have sex. I feel shit. I'm going to throw up. You know, she's still trying. He's like, if you don't stop, I'm going to put you to sleep. She just kept trying, so he just put her in a naked choke on and put her to sleep.
That's fine.
You know? Then he goes to bed, and the next morning he lets her know, like, man, you were crazy. I had to put you to sleep last night. She was like, you what? He's like, I put you to sleep. Yeah. She's like, you just put me to sleep? She was so, so offended. He's like, yeah. And then, you know, we went to bed. And she was like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, I guess I understand that he did it for the opposite reason. But is there really a difference between that and roofying a girl? I mean,
well, as long as he doesn't do anything after he puts her to sleep.
Yeah. Well, hold on. And I guess in his, like, he was about to get raped.
So. Yeah. Right. Yes. Absolutely. That is still rape.
Yeah, he didn't want it, and she was trying. And
that is still rape.
He warned her. He was like, put you to sleep.
No means no. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl.
The same guy says no.
Unless you're from Stanford.
Ooh. He thinks no.
Oh, yeah.
No means try harder.
If you go to Stanford and you're a swimmer.
That's different.
Or, so.
We're not going to go there.
Well.
He already did.
I did, because I hate that guy.
We're going to call Dwayne Williams here in a second and do a quick radio interview.
Okay.
I gotta find my info though on him. Jeez, oh Pete!
All right, while we're finding,
did we have a production meeting?
This is by far the worst produced show we've had so far.
This is great. We had guests come. This is great.
While we're waiting for Brad,
not you.
Yeah, while we're waiting for Brad, just a really quick thing. So the Olympics just happened, and as everybody knows, some of the commentators say things without actually realizing what they're saying. So here are some of the best, worst things that commentators have said. A weightlifting commentator commenting on a female weightlifter. This is Grigorieva from Bulgaria. I saw her snatch this morning during her warm-up, and it was amazing.
No!
Paul Hamm, gymnast. I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father. Boxing analyst. Sure, there have been injuries, even some deaths in boxing, but none of them really that serious. Basketball analysis. He dribbles a lot on the opposition, doesn't like it. In fact, you can see it all over their faces. But my favorite one, my top two are soccer commentator. Julian Dix is everywhere. It's like they have 11 Dix on the field. And tennis commentator. One of the reasons Andy is playing so well is that before the final round, his wife takes out his balls and kisses them. Oh, my God. What have I just said?
I like she knows. She's like, oh, I just fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't do.
She's like, some dude's going to be talking about this on his podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been asked a million times to do commentary.
Well, we tried at XICW one time and you walked off.
I want to do commentary.
Started
so bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
I couldn't. I swear too much.
No, that's the best part. Like, everyone tries to be like, you know, I'll be like,
all
dude, all this time, this guy's been, how long has he been fucking throwing punches and he doesn't know how to slip and go to the body?
Right.
Fucking idiot. Get him out of here.
You know, it's funny. We were
that's the commentary that I do.
We were down at the Arnold.
I'd
and this is
to
a
that.
Sugar Hill story
listen
here,
to
really
that.
Quick.
I feel like you would.
Absolutely.
We're down at the Arnold, and as I'm coming in, they said, hey, we'd like you to do color or actually play-by-play, and we'd like Sugar Hill to do color commentary.
That would be awesome.
And Sugar Hill had to leave. And so, like, Sugar Hill left, and I went back to him, and I said, but I'm still here. And they're like, no, you were a package deal. Yeah. And so, like, I didn't get to do it. And Sugar left me hanging.
I'm going to tell him about that tomorrow.
Exactly. So. Be like, hey, you remember the time you let Brad down at the Arnold? But I would have probably butchered it anyway, so it would have
you
been.
Know, actually, Sugar Hill's really good.
No,
like,
he's
in front
good.
Of the camera and like just commentary mm-hmm. in general, he really is.
The guy they found was really good. He knew all the boxers and everything like that. So let's dial up Dwayne Williams here really quick.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, we had like a news like for the Lions. I don't know, whatever it was, like preseason like show thing, and the news was like doing a thing with me and Sugar Hill, and Sugar
oh, you're
Hill
standing against the ropes like this.
He made me feel so uncomfortable because, like, he's just so good in front of a camera. I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Like,
hello,
hey, Dwayne, it's Brad from the undercard.
What's going on, Brad?
Nope, no problem, man. You're loud. Are you in like a bathroom or something? It's echoing.
Are you pooing?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. We can
hear you. We're just all taking bets whether or not you were dropping a deuce.
Dwayne, thank you so much for joining us. You're fighting this weekend. We just want to do a quick interview with you. Eastern Market, Shed 5. Since the last time you were on the undercard.
Shed 3.
Oh, is this Shed 3?
Oh, boy.
He's all right, boxing in Shed 5. He's Shed 3.
The MMA
three.
Event.
That's what it's on the ticket.
Oh, okay.
Read the ticket.
Last time the tickets were wrong.
Shed 5 is the flower sale. You can't be.
I bet you it is.
Those two
I bet you it's still Shed 5. But Dwayne, last
it
time we.
Probably is, right. Yeah.
Dwayne, last time we had you on the show, your career wasn't doing as well as it is now. You found some peace working with Dynamic Boxing. Tell us a little bit about hooking up with Dynamic again. It was a place that you had gone to previous in your career, and where you're at right now in your career.
Well, Dynamic is actually the first gym I started boxing at. It's like where it all started. And I felt like I wanted to go back to where it all started and give me a pretty good training camp, because one thing good about Dynamic is they're real big on conditioning. So I said, let me go back to my roots and see how it go. And it was actually a pretty good decision, because me and Chad click real good. Me and Paul clicking real good. And I'm fighting better, so.
This is Dwayne.
Now,
it was a pretty good decision.
He knows me. He's my homeboy.
Yeah, you fought at Horseshoe Casino, I believe it was in May of this year. Fought a very mm-hmm. tough opponent, a 6-1 opponent, and it was a draw, but a lot of people felt that was there, that you had won the fight. Tell us a little bit about that fight, because you're fighting as an undergone. You're the opponent.
Skype is
cool. Yeah, that fight. That was I was fighting two guys, the opponent and the referee. Like, man, it was the guy fighting. He was doing a lot of dirty blows to the back of the head and everything. But instead of the ref warning him, the ref would warn me. So I was trying not to let it get to me and just keep fighting. But
well, stop putting your head in the way of his fist.
He started taking points away from me for. Right. But yeah, man. So, and he actually took points away from me with like 30 seconds left in the fight, and it was just terrible. But I still ended up coming out with the draw. So with 2 points being taken away from me in his hometown, I still got the draw.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you know about your opponent this weekend. Do you got a name? You know a little bit about him?
His name Ray Darden. I never met him before. I heard he's a seasoned opponent. It's a 6-round bout. If I'm not mistaken, he fought Darrell Cunningham for a belt before. He got maybe about 30 fights. So just my road to redemption right now.
All right. And you're working with Dynamic. What have they taught you this time around that they didn't teach you the first time around to make you a better fighter?
Well, they got me working on my bases a lot more. That was my main thing. I was a lot of the trainers I hit the miss with. They know I got a pretty good pop when I hit. So most of the time when I hit the miss and it's pretty loud, that's pretty much we work on, like power shots. But I really didn't work on my fundamentals and my basic to set up the power shot. So that's pretty much what Dynamic bringing to the table for me.
I just work.
They helped me with my basic and my fundamentals. Dwayne. And that's opened up a whole lot of doors for me.
Oh, Amanda Bobby Cooper's here.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up, Amanda? How you doing?
Hey, I just want to say,
hey, girl.
I just want to say that I just worked with Dwayne not too long ago, and he looks good. He's very determined, and he's super motivated. And I'm going to be at the fights, y'all.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Amanda. She's a good coach, too. Seriously, she put me through a workout, had me thinking about it for the next 3-4 days.
Now, how'd you end up with them at SFS? How'd that part of the training come about?
Didn't you? Me, actually.
You contacted them?
Well, you know, I was watching her on Ultimate Fighter, and actually became a fan because she's actually a pretty good fighter. I was like how those elbows were looking. And I noticed that they were going through pretty good training while they were there. So I decided to try to call her up and see if she could teach me some of what she learned when she was in camp. And so I hooked up with her, and she set up a date for me to come out there. And she put me through a real intense workout. Like, I recommend that for any fighter.
All right. Well, you got to keep calling her anytime you're in camp and fighting. It looks like you're fighting pretty regularly, and we're glad you're with Dynamic. We wanted to check in with you these fights. We wanted to promote you because it's happening this Saturday. I believe it's still Shed 5, even though you think it's Shed 3 at Eastern Market.
I can't find it anywhere.
No,
no.
No, I know, and
it's
that might be a problem.
It's the same shed it was at last time.
That's
what was
which
that?
Shed 5.
Oh, it's 5, you guys.
All right, Amanda Bobby Cooper's going to call it 5. I'm going to go on a limb and say Shed 5. I know you'll find it, though, Dwayne.
You'll see me at Shed 5, no matter what.
Even if it's a flower
sale.
Right,
I'll definitely find it.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, Dwayne. And then what were you saying earlier, Jimmy? Congratulations?
Oh, isn't there a congratulations in store for you? I think I saw something you posted on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Why don't you tell us the big news?
The big news, I'm expecting a little daughter.
Yay!
Congratulations, yay, man.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Her due date was on Valentine's Day, actually.
Yep, oh, I saw that, yep.
Well, very nice. Congratulations, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend. We know you're in the right hands with Dynamic. Hopefully you get that win, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the support. And thank you, Amanda, for helping me out, too. I appreciate you.
Of course. I'll see you Saturday.
All right. We got to apologize about the Skype issues.
All right. Skype is on a 5-second delay, and when you hear those pauses, it's the stream trying to catch up to its own audio.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. We're going to go to our last break, take our picture really quick with Amanda and Anthony, and then we're going to talk some SummerSlam. We're going to have Joshua. I think Bob might even be calling in. If in case you don't know, Brock Lesnar took Orton 10 staples.
10 staples to the head. He didn't give him 10 staples. He didn't
get enough damage.
Well, I was going to say, it wasn't a hardcore match where he grabbed a stapler and put 10 staples in his head. He busted Orton open so much that it took 10 staples to close the wound.
All right, let's go to our last break, do the picture really quick, and we'll be back.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Are we coming back? Oh, we're back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, we're back. Way to walk right back in, Brad.
I'm here.
No, I know.
I was hearing a bumper, so I didn't think.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't. Well, the bumper was on my thing when I was listening to the live stream.
So we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. It's about that
wrestling.
Time. It's that time of the month. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. SummerSlam, which when I was a kid meant the end of summer.
That's so weird. I know girls that call their time of the month SummerSlam. So.
I know, yeah. Exactly what I was thinking.
I remember being very disappointed that SummerSlam came around.
Them too, yeah.
But we're going to call our wrestling expert from Top Rope Review.
He's going to call in.
Joshua.
Yeah. Does he know that?
Yeah, he knows. Okay. I told him to go ahead and call in. So he should be calling.
He's like, "Oh, that was tonight."
Say hello.
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 Hey, is this Josh?
This is.
Hey, Josh, you're on the undercard. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Josh is from Top Rope Review. It's on Sundays on Podcast Detroit. It covers local wrestling and gets behind the scenes of national wrestling. So we got to ask you right off the bat, tell us what happened at SummerSlam.
A very disappointing main event, I think. And event overall, honestly. I'm not sure how much detail you guys want me to go into. The big thing that people are talking about right now, though, is that Brock Lesnar, in his fight against Randy Orton, which was the main event, opened him up with his elbows. And I think he needed like 10 or 12 staples to close up the gash. And there's been a lot of drama surrounding that with the fans and backstage as a result of this TKO finish, as they're calling it.
Now, the story I read about it, and I believe it was TMZ that reported it, is that Chris Jericho was watching from the back, and he did not know if that was part of the storyline or not, and had to ask somebody from security, was that part of the storyline or not? And then as Brock Lesnar finished, supposedly there was a fight with Jericho and Brock Lesnar behind the curtains. What can you tell us about this, and do you believe that happened?
I'm a pretty big Jericho-holic, so I know a lot about his temperament and kind of like how he thinks about wrestling and the craft and all that sort of stuff. And this really sounds like something he would do. But so what I've heard is, and I did some research knowing I was going to be talking about this today. So is that he was watching and he wasn't sure if Brock had gone too far or if that was part of the show. And because they kind of keep these things, they don't necessarily broadcast to all the other wrestlers what's happening in different matches. So he came up and he asked one of the agents, and they wouldn't answer him. So then when Brock came back, they exchanged some words. I think Brock called Jericho some words that I can't say on the podcast. I'm not really sure. And then Jericho got in his face to the point where. I heard that Jericho shoved him into the wall, and they were kind of like jostling around with each other to the point where Vince McMahon and Triple H had to come out and shout at Jericho, tell him that it was part of the plan, and pull them apart.
Now,
and then he also the other thing I read was that he also then confirmed with Randy Orton later that Randy assured him that he knew that was going to happen.
So do you believe that, or is this a cover-up?
I do believe it, and the reason I believe it is I watched it back over again, and kind of like watched the ground and pound portion at the end of this match. And everything about it looks to me like it's a, what we call in the wrestling business, a work, like that it's part of the story. If you watch it back, you'll notice that with the exception of one elbow to the forehead that looks pretty precise, the rest of it, Brock is kind of like pulling his punches or kind of smacking Randy on the shoulder or on the arm and not actually making any real contact with his head. And this is kind of a thing they used to, that's kind of not really in the business now, but was in the business before, which there's two ways to get blood. There's they can blade, they can hide a blade in their wrist tape and blade, and you know, or they can do it what they call the hard way, which is they use their elbows or they hit you right above the eye to try to get you to bleed without you know actually making you bleed from the blunt force instead of using a blade. I mean, they don't really do that at all anymore, but it seems to me like this is WWE trying to capitalize on Brock's UFC aura, and you know, like look how real it is when Brock is here. He made somebody bleed. And I think they actually ended up calling it, and it was kind of awkward because Randy bled way more than anyone expected him to. But the way Brock was hitting him, and then Shane McMahon coming out and him performing a move on Shane McMahon definitely tells me that this was all part of the story.
Now, what I've also read is that the WWE has been trying to get away from blood a little bit in their mainer or their bigger fights. And a couple of the conspiracy theorists out there said that it's that Brock Lesnar training for MMA wasn't as sharp as he should be as a wrestler, but you're saying your personal belief, and you're much more of a wrestling aficionado than we are here, that you believe that Orton knew he was going to get opened up.
Yeah, I mean, if we are to believe everything that we've heard, but like I said, the way it was presented when I'm watching it over again, it definitely looked like that was planned, especially if you look at too, like how much time was left for the pay-per-view. They didn't really have a lot of time for the TKO finish, the finish without like an actual pinfall is kind of everything points to that being where they went. And I think people freaked out a little bit because Orton ended up bleeding, getting cut worse than they had intended. But I think one of the things that you said, and I think it leans on this conspiracy, you know, what leads to that conspiracy is that Brock is, I mean, if you guys have watched any of Brock's, most recent run with WWE, it's very obvious that he's gassed the entire time he's wrestling. And his matches are not about creativity and entertainment. They're about him coming in, being made to look like he's brutalizing his opponent, and then him leaving. It's not. They're not like when you have a match with Brock Lesnar, you're not trying to put on this athletic contest. It's they're made, you know, where you're doing all these stunts and flips and stuff. I mean, he's coming in and he's burying the other person that he's wrestling.
All right, last question about this fight before we move on to other fights. So does this officially make Brock Lesnar a heel? Because that was all over some boards I was reading, too, that this was kind of a transitioning period of Lesnar being a heel.
Well, he's been a heel on and off, but I think with most recently he was people were cheering for him. But I think this is definitely with him doing that to Randy and then also him attacking Shane McMahon afterwards, it's definitely, he was getting, you know, there were no cheers. He was definitely getting booed, and I think this is definitely a heel turn for Brock.
Tell us a little bit about the rest of the card. Any fights that stand out? Any matches that were an upset in your mind?
Well, a couple things happened that were kind of rough. Seth Rollins and Finn Balor had a match for the newly minted WWE Universal title, which is the lead title on the Raw brand now. And Finn Balor had just been called up from NXT. He's white hot. The fans love him. And he had a couple matches, and now he's in this title match. And he was injured last night, and they forced him to relinquish the – he was injured at SummerSlam, excuse me. And he now is relinquishing his – they made him relinquish his title on Raw. So that was – that the match was great, and he actually – I mean, there's some question storyline or not, but I'm assuming not storyline because he's going to be out after just coming in. But he tore his something in his shoulder and then popped it back into the socket to finish the match. And he did this pretty early in the match. And you can kind of, if you watch the match, you can see him, you can see that happen, and you can also see how much pain he's in for the rest of the match. He continued. And then AJ Styles versus John Cena was probably one of the best matches of the year. Very, very, very well done. Kind of a dream match for people because AJ Styles is new to the WWE, but he's been wrestling in New Japan Pro and TNA for quite some time. He was kind of the John Cena of TNA. So this is kind of a dream for people, and they didn't disappoint. It was a very, very, very good match. Other than that, though, I mean, I'm a little bit of a wrestling snob, but other than that, not a whole lot stood out for me. The main event, the Finn Balor match, and the match between AJ Styles and John Cena were definitely the highlights.
Didn't I hear something, or I think I just read something where Balor just gave up his belt because he's going to be out for a while? Did you hear that?
Right, out for a while because of the shoulder injury.
Now, what is?
I don't think they would. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did he suffer the shoulder injury at SummerSlam, or
yeah,
was that
he
a
said,
previous?
He just said SummerSlam. He believes it happened. Okay. Yeah, and popped it back in.
Yeah. You can actually, if you watch back, you can see him. Actually, I don't know if you guys remember. I know you're like a little bit wrestling fans. Seth Rollins did this move like a power bomb into the corner on Sting a while back and ended his career with it. Like legitimately, he did the same move to Finn Balor at SummerSlam, only into like the barricade down at ringside, and you can see Finn land really awkwardly, and then you can see him trying to slam his shoulder back into the socket right after it happened. That camera guy's probably going to get fired for showing that.
Oh, wow.
Can you explain to us what the WWE Universal Championship is and what that means? It's a new belt?
So in the middle of July, they split the brands, and actually, I think this is when we talked about this.
Yeah,
the last time.
We had your draft.
I was on undercard. Yeah, so when they did that, the heavyweight champion was drafted to SmackDown, and it left Raw without a heavyweight title. And since the brands are mutually exclusive, Dean Ambrose, who's the champion, he's only going to be defending it on SmackDown, so Raw needed a title, so this is the title that they created to be the new, world heavyweight title for Raw.
And as a wrestling fan that follows it a lot, do you guys accept this many belts? Because now there's a lot of belts out there.
Well, this is kind of the way it was before the last time they split the brands. We had the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, and they were on separate brands. But I don't love that there's more belts, but at the same time, if you don't have a belt on each show and the shows aren't crossing streams ever, you you would have, so like, if they didn't make this title for Raw, what are the top of the card fighting for? You know, it kind of gives them an object to chase. So even though, you know, I think a lot of myself and a lot of other wrestling fans don't like that they're trading more belts, I think it's kind of a necessary evil.
All right, last question. And once again, you can catch Joshua on Top Rope Review. Listen to him on SoundCloud. Go check out the back shows at PodcastDetroit.com. But the WWE Divas, they're pushing them pretty hard. What did you think about the Divas' performance at SummerSlam? Was it good? Are they heading in the right direction with the Divas, or is it something that is just not clicking?
Well, first of all, they're not the Divas anymore. It's just
women's wrestling division. Man. Women's
get away with that. What's that?
I said women's wrestling. Then I know they. I forgot they got rid of the Divas term.
Yeah, now they have a belt that doesn't look like a tramp stamp, which is good too. Because the other belt looked like a butterfly.
It was a butterfly,
pink, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's pink and pretty.
Was a really, actually, you know, I forgot to say that. There was a really good match at SummerSlam between Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair, she's the daughter of Ric Flair. And actually, Sasha Banks got hurt during that match as well. They're still marred with injuries at this point. But I think the women's division stuff that they're doing could be better, but they're definitely, you know, they went from, you know, 10 years ago, we had like bra and panties matches and stuff like that. Now we have, you know, at this last WrestleMania, I think the triple threat between Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair was the best match of the night. They went from finding models and train and teaching them how to wrestle to finding, you know, recruiting women wrestlers. And the match quality has gotten a lot better, and I think it's a good thing. I think there's more they could do, but I think that they're definitely moving in a positive direction.
What about that thing that they had at the Arnold, which is basically where they audition new wrestlers?
That's next. Yeah.
How is that influencing them?
So NXT is actually the main reason, why this has happened. It started down there. That whole developmental territory that they have is run exclusively by Triple H and has a greater focus on that show airs on Wednesdays and you'll watch it, and there's always you'd have a 3-hour Raw and there'd be 1 3-minute, you know, Divas match maybe on the card, and you'll watch an episode on 1-hour NXT episode, and you'll see multiple women's matches. That's where they started this focus on women's wrestling and kind of bringing it to the forefront and making it equal with, trying to make it equal with the way, you know, equal treatment with the men's division. And the women that actually kind of started pushing this on the main roster were three wrestlers from NXT that they pulled off all at once and kind of started this. They were calling it at the time the Divas Revolution, but it's that, you know, not, obviously they're not using the term diva anymore. And so, yeah, so NXT is kind of where this all started.
I lied. I do have one more question for you, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
A couple big names got busted for the substance abuse policy with WWE. What do you know about it? And tell us the names.
Okay, so Eva Marie got busted for, it's been reported she got busted for Adderall. And then Paige and Alberto Del Rio, they got busted on the same day, and they are at the same time, and they are a couple in real life. And so there is some rumors on the internet that it has to actually do with something else, and they're just labeling it their wellness policy. But I don't know. I mean, it could have just been that they both smoked weed together and got caught at the same time. There haven't been really any reports on what those two got busted for. And it's kind of interesting because neither one of them are really being used right now either. So they're not like any main storylines. But you know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought this up because the thing that, and it kind of relates to you guys, is the thing that really makes me mad is that these guys will get, you know, busted for Adderall or for whatever, and be immediately suspended, whereas Brock Lesnar test positive twice, and because it happened outside of WWE's walls, they late said, "Oh well, he's a part-time performer, so we're not gonna, you know, that doesn't apply to him," and that sort of stuff. They kind of just shrugged it off, so the paycheck was too large.
Exactly, big enough star. Give a shout out about your show. Where can people listen live on Sundays, and then tell us where to find your show on Facebook.
Yeah, so we're the Top Rope Review. We're on Sundays at 4 on Podcast Detroit. We're on Facebook. Just search for Top Rope Review. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Top Rope Review. And then you can find, if you forget all of this stuff, all of our past episodes, all of our social medias and stuff are all linked on topropereview.com.
Awesome, man. Great hour of radio you guys do on Sundays. Thank you so much, Joshua, for breaking down SummerSlam for us. And we'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care. Yeah, not the fault of our guests, but that was like trying to get the Apollo around the dark side of the moon all day. Skype sucked, dude. it was just like you were waiting for it always to like – it sounded like when you talk to someone from Europe, the delay.
Yeah.
And then – but you also had the losing them a little bit, so it's like a shuttle landing.
This may be my fault. I apologize. I called my cable company today and had them up my internet speed. So
okay.
Oh.
So you're pulling from here.
Yeah, I might be. I'm not sure.
I thought it was just – I just thought it was Dave and Bob just forgot to pay the bill or something.
No. Maybe. Skype's free, isn't it? I don't even know.
Skype's free, but the internet's not.
Oh, no.
Skype has to go through the internet, and if the speeds are brought down, then that's what you get.
Yeah. I'd probably just bring us.
Too many laptops in here.
Too many laptops.
There's too many laptops. Great show. Recapping really quick. Had some interviews earlier, but more importantly, ABC – and Anthony Barnes stopped by for a surprise visit.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we want to thank.
Right.
Yeah, we want to thank all our guests that were part of the show.
She
tonight.
Was awesome. We'll go with that.
Yeah, dude, she was on fire today. She's ripping Barnes a new one.
I know.
For
I'm
us.
So happy she finally made it to a studio.
Yeah. So everybody, check out this episode on SoundCloud. Share it with friends. A lot of. Video we're going to start posting. We had a little production meeting, so just look for video. We actually video recorded some of Amanda Bobby Cooper in the studio, so that will be up on Facebook sometime tonight.
I do not consent to my likeness being used. You'll have to blur my face.
Okay.
Nope. In your contract.
I liked how ABC was backing out of that, and I'm like, that's out there now. I don't know.
It was in your contract. You didn't have to go to all the events, but we could use your likeness in any way we wanted.
Yeah, we have a cardboard stand-up we bring
out. That's right.
When people are like, where's Marv? And we're like, here's the stand-up.
Did you at least slim it down a little bit? I'd appreciate it if you could. Maybe just trim it a little bit.
All right, everybody.
It's proportional.
We will see you next week for episode 202. Take care.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard. Hand Combat Radio.